Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's good to have you with us here for another in the series of Read the Word. We're on Judges chapter 8 and 9. Going through the book of Judges as Israel learns to follow God. And they don't learn very good. But we're going to go through it. And we're going to see how this awesome, majestic word of God shows us in the old what you and I are going to experience in the new. In Jesus' mighty name. 43. And now, I want to invite you that are in Michigan or Northern Ohio, I guess, in Northern Indiana. Sunday afternoon, April the 3rd, 3 p.m., I'm going to be at the Capitol in Lansing. And the community of faith, all those that help bring this program to you, we're going to be meeting on the steps of the Capitol and receiving communion together. I want you to come be a part of it. If you live in the state of Michigan, make your way there and come receive communion with us. According to Exodus chapter 12, God said to the children of Israel, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you as a destruction." And that's interesting. Anyways, that's Sunday, April 3rd, 3 p.m. And we'll be on the steps of the Capitol on the east side. Bring your own grape juice and crackers, and we'll receive communion together. If there's five of us, wonderful. If there's 500, wonderful. We want you to be a part of it. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray our opening prayer together. 2:10. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. So I will be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So I will know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Gideon chapter 8, no, Judges chapter 8, 3:15. Now the men of Ephraim said to him, "Why have you done this by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites?" And they reprimanded him sharply, Gideon. He said to them, "What I have done now in comparison with you, is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer, God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuit. He said to the men of Succoth, "Please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Zeba, Zalmunna, kings of Midian." The leaders of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand that we would give any bread to your army?" Gideon said, "For this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, Then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Tell God's man, no, I'm not going to feed you in the middle of a battle. Verse 8, he went up from there to Penuel. Spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. He spoke to the men of Penuel, saying, when I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east. For 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. That is a huge number of troops. Verse 11, Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in the tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and he took the and he attacked the battle while the camp felt secure. When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them. And he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle, from the ascent of Heres, and he caught a young man of the men of Succoth and interrogated him. He wrote down from him the leaders of Succoth and its elders, 77 men. Then he came to the men of Succoth and said, Here are Zeba and Zalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand that we should give you bread for your weary men? Took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. I have a word for you. That punishment sucketh. I don't know whether you got it or not. That was a really good, bad joke. That was that 7 minutes. Then he tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city. He said to Zeba and Zalmunna, what kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor? They answered, as you are, so were they. Each one resembled the son of a king. Then he said, they were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you. And he said to Jether, his firstborn, rise, kill them. But the youth would not draw his sword, for he was afraid because he was still a youth. So Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise yourself and kill us. For as a man is, so is his strength. So Gideon rose and killed Zeba and Zalmunna, and took the crescent ornaments that were on their camels' necks. If you don't love the word of God, it's because you ain't never read it. This is amazing. And this is just what is written in the Bible. This doesn't tell you every event. This is at 8 minutes. 120,000 men were killed? I mean, in all of Vietnam, not 120,000 men were killed. I mean, I guess if you total all of the Americans and the Viet Cong together, yeah, but wow. I probably have my numbers wrong. Don't be offended at that if you're a Vietnam vet. Verse 22. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, both you and your son, your grandson also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian. Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. You can hear Gideon. Have you not learned anything? Gideon said to them, I would like to make a request of you that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. So they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into it the earrings from his plunder. The weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes which were on the kings of the Midians, besides the chains that were around their camels' necks. Then Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in his city. All Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel. So they lifted their heads no more. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. Gideon had 70 sons. 70 sons who were his own offspring, for he had many wives. Lord, have mercy. And his concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son whose name is called Abimelech. Now Gideon, the son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So it was, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. Thus the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all their enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, Gideon, in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. Makes you want to just, like my mom would say, grab them and just crack their heads together. Maybe you'll learn something. Wow. And you got to know. This is 11:15. And you got to know that there were some people in that land who did not go that way, because there's always a remnant. Man, they had to just be ticked at these people. That's American terminology for increased anger and much vehemence. Chapter 9, 11:46. Then Abimelech, the son of Zerubbabel, went to Shechem to his mother's brothers and spoke with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, "Please speak in the hearing of all the men of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70 of the sons of Zerubbabel will reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember that I am your own flesh and bone." His mother's brothers spoke all these words concerning him in the hearing of all the men of Shechem. And their heart was inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." So they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal Berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. Money will get you people you don't want, and so will poverty. Verse 5, then he went to his father's house at Ophrah, killed his brothers, the 70 sons of Zerubbabel, on one stone. But Jotham, the younger son of Zerubbabel, was left because he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together all of Beth Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king beside the terebinth tree at the pillar that was in Shechem. Everything Gideon did, he went against. The parable of the tree, 13:20. Now when they told Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim, lifted his voice and cried out and said to them, "Listen to me, you men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. The tree once went forth to anoint a king over them." The trees once went forth to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Should I cease giving my oil with which they honor God and men and go to sway over trees?" Verse 10. Then the trees said to the fig tree, "You come and reign over us." Fig tree said to them, "Should I cease my sweetness and my good fruit and go to sway over trees?" No, don't do that, because I like figs, at least fig Newtons. Verse 12, the tree said to the vine, "You come and reign over us." And the vine said to them, "Should I cease my new wine, which cheers both God and men, and go to sway over trees?" All the trees said to the bramble, "You come and reign over us." And the bramble said to the trees, "If in truth you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." He was speaking a parable. 16. Now therefore, if you have acted in truth and sincerity, making Abimelech king, if you've dealt well with Zerubbabel in his house and have done to him as he deserves, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and delivered you out of the hand of Midian, But you have risen up against my father's house this day and killed his 70 sons on one stone and made Abimelech, the son of his father, of his female servant, king over the men of Shechem because he's your brother. If then you have acted in truth and sincerity with Jerubbaal, with his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled, and he went to Beer and dwelt there for the fear of Abimelech, his brother. These boys are serious. The downfall of Abimelech, 16. After Abimelech had reigned over Israel 3 years, God sent a spirit of ill will between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Exactly what Jotham prophesied. 24, that the crime done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might be settled, and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who aided him in the killing of his brothers. And the men of Shechem sent men in ambush against him on tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who passed by them along the way, and it was told Abimelech. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brothers, went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. So they went out into the fields and gathered grapes from their vineyards and trod them and made merry. And they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Serious life back then, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? And is not Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? If only this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech. So he said to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. I'm calling you out to fight. But Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed. His anger was roused. And he sent messengers to Abimelech secretly, saying, take note. Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brothers have come to Shechem, and here they are fortifying the city against you. Get up by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. Shall come to pass as soon as the sun is up in the morning, that you shall rise early and rush upon the city, and when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you may then do to them as you find opportunity. So Abimelech and all the people who were with him rose by night, laying wait against Shechem in four companies. When Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance to the city gate, Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from lying in wait. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, look, people are coming down from the top of the mountains. But Zebul said to him, you see the shadows of the mountains as if they were men. So Gaal spoke again and said, see, people are coming down from the center of the land, and another company is coming from the diviner's terebinth tree. Then Zebul said to him, where indeed is your mouth now with which you said, who is Abimelech, that we should serve him? Are not these the people whom you despised? Go out, if you will, and fight with them now. So Gaal went out leading the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him and he fled from him, and many fell wounded to the very entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brothers so that they would not dwell in Shechem. Came about on the next day that the people went out into the field and they told Abimelech. So he took his people, divided them into three companies, lay in wait in the field, and he looked there where the people coming out of the city. And he rose against them and attacked them. Then Abimelech and the company that was with them rushed forward, stood at the entrance of the gate of the city, and the other two companies rushed upon all who were in the fields and killed them. Man, what a serious set of battle this is. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city, killed the people who were in it. He demolished the city and sowed it with salt. Must be where that old religious statement, 20:35, must be where that old religious statement came from. I'm going to sow salt. Now when all the men of the Tower of Shechem had heard that, they entered the stronghold of the temple of the god of Berith. Don't go into the god, a false god, and expect anything to happen for you. It was told Abimelech that all the men of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. Abimelech went up to the Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. Abimelech took an axe in his hand, cut down a bough from the trees, took it, laid it on his shoulder. He said to the people who were with him, "What you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done." Each of the people likewise cut down his own bough, followed Abimelech, put them against the stronghold, and set the stronghold on fire above them, so that all the people of the Tower of Shechem died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech went to Thebes, and he encamped against Thebes and took it. There was a strong tower in that city, and all the men and women, all the people of the city fled there, shut themselves in. Then they went up to the top of the tower. So Abimelech came as far as the tower and fought against it. And he drew near the door of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman dropped an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Well, it is about time. He called quickly to the young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest men say of me, a woman killed him." So his young man thrust him through and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man to his place. Then God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers, and all the evil of the men of Shechem God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. Now, you know why I say it all the time. This is the majestic word of God. All the way to the New Testament. This is 23:23. Hebrews 11:32. Listen to this. "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Samson, and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdom, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mocking and scourging, chains, imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two." One prophet was put in a log and sawn in two with a saw. "They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, They should not be made perfect apart from us. And guys, you and I get to believe in Jesus, get to have him live on the inside, literally have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of us, teaching us and training us from the inside out. There's no reason you don't want to be with God and have everything you can possibly have from him in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never received Jesus into your life, you might be trying to be the most religious person on the face of the earth. But if you don't have a relationship with your Father, you're just being religious. Pray this prayer with us. And in the next 60 seconds, if you mean it from the depth of your heart, you'll be right with God. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
And you rose again on the third day for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
Right now, today.
In every area,
all of your grace,
all of your mercy,
all of your love,
all of your righteousness,
fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power,
understand the word of God,
pray
in my heavenly language.
And live a
successful
life
as a believer every day.
As a believer every
I
day.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty
amen
name.
Amen and amen and amen. 27:30. You might be saying, Pastor, what's going on? I know it's an experience. I experience it every time. Here's what happened. You went from darkness to light. You went from fear to faith. You went from sin to righteousness. You went from being a mere earthling to a child of God. You ready? Jesus, the light of the world, you just said, come into my life, and he filled you with light. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, just came into you. Fear left because sin left, and sin produces fear, and faith came in its place. Jesus. You were bound by sin just like all of us were, even me. And you just got filled with all of Jesus' righteousness, so now you can overcome. You said, I receive you, come into my life. And the Father just said, adopt him into family, make him one of my children, and you are now heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. All of that in one prayer. Because he loves you that much. He's more willing to give you himself than you even are to ask him. And as soon as you ask, he comes in Jesus' mighty name. What's your responsibility? Walk with God every day for the rest of your life. Just walk with him. Just live with him and walk with him. Wake up every morning and pray this prayer. Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Help me walk with you today.
Help me walk with you today.
Isn't that hard about that? See, what comes hard is when you're trying to be a Christian, because who knows what that means? Because it can mean something different in every circle. But when you walk with the Father, he's walking with you from the inside out. He's in you. Now you got to learn what that means, and that's what we're all about. We've got over 1,000 videos that we can share with you and teach you how to walk with God. Send me an email, say, Pastor, I prayed a prayer, and I will help you walk with God every day. 29:55, remember this. There are timestamps put in this video, in the notes, and in the first comment. And those timestamps will help you go back to certain parts of the of each day's reading and click it again. Every time you click that timestamp, it takes you right back there and you can listen to that part again, play it and listen to it again. I love it. I put timestamps in on people's videos all across YouTube. Now, we want to help you walk with God any way we can. This is a faith ministry. God instructs you to sow a seed. Please do. We'll bless it. We'll bless you. We'll bless your life because that's what we're responsible to do. Remember, Sunday mornings, we have communion every Sunday morning. So that'll be tomorrow morning. There'll be communion. And then on April 3rd at 3 p.m. in Lansing, Michigan, on the steps of the Capitol, we're going to receive together communion together for anybody that wants to come there and pray the blood of Jesus over this state and over this government building. So we welcome you. It's not a big official event, but as many people as want to come are welcome to be there. Send it to your friends and family and say, hey, here's your opportunity to meet that crazy preacher from North Dakota. That's me. You'll meet me face to face, and you'll meet the believers that bring this program to you. So we'd love to see you. And afterward, we'll hang out at McDonald's or Burger King or whatever we can find open, Little Caesar's Pizza, if that's what it is. We'll just be together and be a blessing to you. Make sure you wear something warm. Bring your own grape juice and bread. And all y'all come now, you hear? Because we want to see you and be a blessing to this state and to your life. Until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this? We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus
is Lord. And he's on the inside of you, helping you from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name. See you soon. All of you on Blog Talk Radio around the world, wherever you may be, remember this. We love you. And we are praying for you every day to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Never surrender to our enemy. Never surrender to our enemy. He's a loser. And you and I are winners. We bless you now in Jesus' mighty name. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And amen.